Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Stop worrying about what's going on with other teams. You're a good team. Like, do your thing, and it will take care of itself.
The Fantasy Football Show.
Hello, everybody. My name's James, and welcome to Ask James, my regular YouTube live stream, where I welcome questions from the YouTube community. I say regular, but actually I haven't done one of these for around about 4 weeks. So very much looking forward to this. For the benefit of those on the audio to timestamp this, it's just gone 12 p.m. on Thursday, April the 18th. And over the next 50, 55 minutes or so, I'm happy to answer any of the questions thrown my way on YouTube on a day where we mourn the fact that no English sides have made the Champions League semi-finals. Oh, damn it. Tottenham's coefficient's in big trouble. What a sad, sad evening I had last night. I'm sorry to the Gooners. Let's get into the questions. Ian PTSD says, good afternoon, James. Hope you and the family are well. Any initial thoughts on the new FA Cup structure for next season? Yeah, literally just seen that because someone just tagged me about a couple of minutes before I went live and wanted to know what the impact was for double game weeks in the future. I did know that this was going to come into play from 2025-26. I think it's probably going to come into play now from next season. By the looks of it, perhaps the FPL impact is quite simply less double and blank game weeks. So, in brief and in short, the agreement includes for the FA Cup quarterfinals to have its own weekend, i.e., so we've had this year with, I think it was blank game week 29. FA Cup quarterfinals are not going to cause postponements. By virtue of that, you are just literally going to have less double game weeks. So for the strategists like me, we're all unemployed now, nothing left to do. There will still be double game weeks, but it won't be, by the looks of it, to the size of what's happened previously. I mean, under the new schedule, the only thing that will cause postponements, bar weather or unforeseen circumstances, is the Carabao Cup final and the FA Cup semi-finals. So in theory, you know, the maximum that will be games that would be postponed across the Premier League season due to the cup competitions is now six fixtures. That's the maximum. And they're probably unlikely to all be played in the same game week as well. So even if they are, cool, one big double, but that's what it might be. It might only be kind of one solid double game week in the future going forward. So that's a sad day for us strategists. The headline one is no FA Cup replays, so from the first round onwards. I'm a little surprised that they've said that for the first and the second rounds, because I think the TV revenue and the replays is probably quite good for the lower league clubs. But I've said this several times over, and I think you'll see it yourself with the UEFA reformatting of the competitions. There is no room in the calendar anymore for FA Cup replays. I don't know when anyone would expect them to be played. And I know people say, well, you know, you're doing all this for the seven or eight clubs will be in Europe. Yeah, unfortunately, there's only three or four clubs will actually benefit properly from these replays as well. So it was inevitable, really, that FA Cup replays, certainly from at least the third round, were going to go. Looks like it's going to be from the first round onwards. Would I prefer to keep FA Cup replays? Yes, I would. But unfortunately, there's no room in the calendar going forward. So it doesn't come as a huge surprise to me. And as I said, the FPL impact is going to be less double game weeks. I didn't see if it might come into play from 2025 or if it's immediately going to be next season. I literally just glanced at the article. I did know it was coming from 25. If it's from next year, then it is what it is. Immortal Techniques says, pay your rent. Hit the like, people. Yeah, for those watching live, it does go a long way. And obviously, if you listen to the audio, the five-star reviews also go a long way. Thank you, Treknik. Hope you're well, pal. I always see you in the comments, mate. You're one of the few people that comment I like. Charlie, 1157NC Reapers says, hi, James. Hope you're well. I have one free transfer before wildcard in game week 35. Would it be mad to consider selling Haaland to Cunha or Mateta instead of Foden to Elise? Have Eze already. Cheers and good luck. There's no mad on my streams, mate. I get it. All you got to do is ask yourself the question, well, what do you want to do in 35? You might have the luxury you want to bring Haaland back. You might decide that you don't want to. You might decide that you want to chain it on and go for Nicholas Jackson, his double game week in 35 instead. I've seen enough of Erling Haaland lately to know that he's in a rut. I really think he's in a rut, actually. And that doesn't mean that you shouldn't own him in FPL. You can't captain him. I don't think anyone's captain him this week. And I don't think anyone's captain him in 35. But most people are possibly thinking 36 to 38, they might. And maybe he'll rediscover himself a little bit between now and then. But he just doesn't look at it. It feels like if he's got a real physical imposing jeweler against him, he struggles a bit. Someone like Antonio Rüdiger last night, I reflect on playing against people like Van Dijk. I reflect even when City lost at Wolves earlier in the season, when Craig Dawson basically man-marked him. He seems to struggle a bit more in these sort of duels. He's obviously a player that needs space in behind. Everybody knows that, but teams aren't necessarily going to allow it. So there's a lot more of allowing in between centre-backs and full-backs. That's where City had joy. City should have gone through last night, by the way. I don't know how they didn't. They were just unlucky on the night. And that's not Haaland's area to find space. Then he's relying on the quality of the crosses, etc. I don't think that's any better for City now than it was 12 months ago. And he's struggling a little bit at the moment. When he gets involved in a link play, he looks awkward. And he's always looked awkward, but we forgive him for that because in front of goal, he just looks absolutely deadly. He's not really getting a lot of service, I don't think, him specifically. And it's because people know that if you give him a yard, he will finish you. So he can certainly rediscover that form. But in terms of selling him, Charlie, that's what you want to do. I don't mind it. I mean, I won't be going Haaland on free here. I'd actually prefer, if I was going to go with a single game week forward, I'd actually prefer to go with Ollie Watkins, I think. That said, that sort of jaw probably won't be there for Haaland at Brighton next week. And Brighton will allow space more than many other teams would do. But it'll also be a high tempo game. And also the asking to come off last night seems a little strange. Kevin De Bruyne at 110 minutes into the game, I understand, because for him to play that long is really tough now. We know that with his injury record and history and now his age. But Haaland asking to come off at 90 minutes, if that's what Guardiola has said, seems very strange to me. Very strange. I don't think he'll start the FA Cup semi-final, which is also a little bit helpful if people want to have him for this week. And those running through, many of those in your case, Charlie, will hold. Sam O'Brien says, without free hit and wild card, should you avoid going all in on the doubles? Still have bench boost to play and planning on either this week or 37. You don't need to go all in on the doubles. Like, is it fine to bench boost with your Haalands and your Palmers and your Watkins this week, for example? Manchester United players, yes, sure. I don't like, particularly with United players, that the FA Cup semi-final is 3 days before Sheffield United. It really kind of make me a bit paranoid. And obviously Cole Palmer has an FA Cup semi-final on Saturday before they go to Arsenal on Tuesday. I'd be a bit concerned about that. But it depends how you set up. It's like, people, oh, well, what's best week to bench boost, 34, 37? I ain't got a clue what your team looks like, Sam. So you're going to want to do it in one of the 2 weeks. I think 36 might have fallen quite nicely for people. If the Chelsea-Tottenham fixture had gone there, he doesn't look quite such that way now. And I don't think 35 will either, off the back of many teams playing in the midweek before. So yes, 34 or 37. But in terms of going all in on the doubles, is it absolutely necessary? No. 37, I think, will feel that way more. Just because of the team's fixtures before and afterwards, particularly Newcastle, obviously, in the run-up to it. Chelsea other side. Chelsea, Tottenham having the doubles in 35. It's the same, like, people, oh, what's the best three Tottenham to have in 35? Well, the probable answer is don't have three. And you're very welcome, Sam. Thank you very much. Good luck, pal. That's the cuisine. It's the boss, Sajan Shah. He's on holiday, I think, or he's working. You never can be too sure. It's his afternoon, chief. Looking forward to podding again Monday. Blimey, you actually going to turn up, are you? Speak to Manchild, please, boss, because he's done my nutting with the studio. Have a word. Make sure it's ready for Monday. Kevin Holmes says, thoughts on a new FA Cup format, both from an FPL and just a general football point of view. Thank you for your question, Kevin, but you kind of got beaten to the punch on that one, mate, so I'm going to skip it, but thank you. Birth Media says, hi, Jimbo. Double Arsenal defence, worth a minus four to get to, or do I just get Isak in view of next game week? No wild card, bench boost 37. Yeah, I mean, Isak certainly falls into the line of player that it would be absolutely fine to use for game week 34. Palace away, it's fine as a fixture. Newcastle don't play this weekend, so you shouldn't have any concerns from that particular perspective. And although Callum Wilson's back in training, let's say, I think Isak is still good for starts pretty much from here till the end, I think. Might be a little bit more of a problem once we get to 37, but with the spacing of the games, I don't really foresee a problem here. Wednesday to Saturday, 34-35, you might want to have a little bit of cautiousness about that, but I don't know if Wilson's going to be ready to start by game week 35. Across game week 37 and 38, they play Saturday, Wednesday, Sunday. So that's the ideal scenario from the spacing there for him as well. So I think he'll start nearly all the games. And I don't think with Harvey Barnes now fit, I don't think there's a huge concern about him ending up in a wide area either, actually. So Wilson will certainly have a little impact on his minutes. That goes without saying, but he's absolutely flying. I would have no problem if you wanted to buy Alexander Isak this week, mate. In terms of double Arsenal defence, take a minus four for it. Look, if you're going to do it, a double game week is obviously a good time to do it. But then are you going to play it at Tottenham in 35? Are you going to play it in 37 as well? Is it worth it? Do we really look at Chelsea next week and think they don't score at the Emirates with the form that Palmer's in? And actually just Chelsea offensively have been pretty good for a number of weeks. I mean, it's 9 or 10 in a row now. They've scored two or more in each game. That's admittedly is all competition, so it does include a couple of cup games against championship teams, although championship teams near the top of the table. So, and Wolves have been decent in a lot of big games this season. And Huang's obviously basically back to fitness. Cunha, we know, is back to fitness. So other than Neto, the team's basically back together. There's obviously a question mark on Aitnori as well. But yeah, I mean, it's a challenging double now for Arsenal. And we can look at the stats and all those things. What we can't understand is the mentality and the psychological impact of what's happened to them now over the last few days. They're obviously kind of gone behind in the race for the title. They've obviously gone out of the Champions League last night. What's the mental impact on that? I don't know. So to take minus four for it, no. I'd probably rather you just got Isak. Patrick says, Saka appears to be injured. That's every week, Patrick. He says, brave free hitters could go without and punt on Odegaard or Jesus. Also, Arsenal are definitely conceding v Wolves. So Patrick thinks they'll definitely concede versus Wolves. I think Chelsea will probably score at Arsenal next week. It's probably the more likely of the two. So again, to go back to the previous question, minus, like, having an Arsenal defender, of course, great. Minus four for it. Not particularly convinced. Jesus would be of no interest to me at all, Patrick. I'm on free. I'm going to be on free hit this week. Saka will probably still go in and Odegaard might come with him, purely because of what I've said about actually defensively as well. The impact of what I do with the Arsenal player, I haven't decided which three yet. It's going to be heavily impacted by Liverpool tonight and their expected minutes, because that's going to be the more difficult call, I think, is getting the right free Liverpool. Whether it's double Arsenal defence or double Arsenal offensive, feels I'm kind of not determined to go one way or the other. So it's Liverpool's probably going to impact that. And it might be that I go, right, well, I want to go Diaz, Salah, Van Dijk as an example. It might be from there that I just naturally fall into place with double Arsenal defence, despite what I've said. But I think Saka will probably go in. I think ideally I would like to go Gabriel, Saka, Odegaard, ideally. But I don't really want anything defensive that's not from either Arsenal, Crystal Palace or Liverpool. That's basically where I'm at. Patrick says, can see Arsenal conceding both matches. A double attack makes more sense. Matt Jensen says, hi, James, love your work. Thank you. Says two free transfers this week left. Two free transfers this week left. I'm looking for long-term differentials. There's not enough left to go long-term, mate. It says, if you had to choose three players with less than 10% ownership, who would it be? I don't have a list in front of me. That's probably not helpful. So from now till the end of the season, proper differentials. Okay. Harvey Barnes. Nicholas Jackson. You're going to want to defend. The problem with defensive is rough, isn't it? just go Guardiola. There you go. There's three for you. Milan Rizavi says, hello, James. Hope you're having a good day. Would you prioritise Eze over Saka? Free hit 37 is my strategy. Wouldn't have free Arsenal if I go for Eze. Probably yes. I think with Eze, with his fixtures, you're looking at him and thinking, well, if I get stuck with him, it's all right. I mean, that's what you want to ask yourself. If you're buying that sort of player, what if I can't get away? Well, you might not want to. So after the double, Fulham away, Manchester United at home doesn't look a bad fixture. Wolves away 37, probably nothing to play for. Villa at home, final day. So the fixtures I don't think are bad for him, despite the fact there's no green fixtures in there, if you will. But it might even mean space is a little easier to come by for him. So yeah, I don't mind that at all. But to counter that, obviously with Arsenal going out last night, the week that was a real concern for Arsenal and Manchester City assets was game week 36. Because it would have fallen in between the Champions League semi-finals. That's obviously now not the case for those two teams. So if Saka was to play both in the double, and I think he probably still will, it's difficult now not to think Saka will start all six games. Then you're asking the question, does Eze outscore Saka over that period? Well, that might be determined by how Arsenal responders said this weekend. I don't think we can be certain how that happens. My instinct is Arsenal will go to Wolves and win. That's my instinct. But as others have said, I think they might concede. And I think the Chelsea game on Tuesday is now quite dangerous for them, because Chelsea also have looked very good in, again, some of the more difficult on paper fixtures this season. Which would I rather have? I think it's probably still Saka. But I don't mind if someone's got a preference for Eze on that. Gaurav Ranjan says, can you draw some comparisons between free hit 34 versus free hit 38, please? Good luck. Okay, so, I mean, the first is 34 has seven teams have a double game week and game week 38 has none. In terms of game week 38, there's pros and cons for it, right? So there might be a number of teams that have nothing to play for, but also we're in a scenario where many of the teams, I've said this several times over, who play in 38 after their 37 double, I don't see them rotating much. I don't see particular reason for Chelsea to rotate, for Newcastle. Manchester United don't rotate. Tottenham don't rotate. Admittedly, Brighton and Manchester United play each other is not particularly the best fixture. And City is obviously dependent if they need to win to go for the title. I have a suspicion City will get beat by Chelsea in the FA Cup semi-final as well. So, I mean, if that's the scenario, then how much do they rotate 38? It's dependent on whether they're going for the title or not. So, look, the benefit of 38 and free hitting in that week would be, right, you've got a clear understanding when you get there of who's got shit to play for and who hasn't. But I also think that in the case particularly of Chelsea, Tottenham, Newcastle, the fixtures are good enough in 38 and I don't see them particularly rotating massively in that week. Chelsea might if they beat Manchester City at the weekend. But in terms of like free hitting this week versus 38, well, it depends how you set. So to give you an example, for me now with my team untouched, I've got Gabriel and Salah. That's the only two doublers I've got. And I wouldn't have, say, you know, even for the single game week players, I wouldn't have great coverage. Like I've got no Newcastle, no Manchester United. And I'm obviously going to wildcard myself in 35. So for me, with what I've got, it makes complete perfect sense to free hit. But I've seen plenty of other teams that are beautifully set for this week, already in place with sort of like 9-10 doublers, have set themselves really well. They're obviously not going to free hit this week. So it's purely dependent on where you're at with your team, mate. Yahia says, wildcard 35, bench boost 37, option 1 and 2. Watkins or Haaland to a doubling forward. Option 3, Palmer to Eze or Diaz, and bench one of Watkins or Haaland. Rank is 2,500. Love your flex with Watkins. Probably on pens. EO at 2% has me tempted. So with Douglas Luiz suspended, yes, probably, but I wouldn't be surprised if it's someone like Yuri Tielemans takes it. I would not be at all surprised if Yuri Tielemans was Villa's penalty taker this weekend. And listen, at the same time, Haaland would be on pens, right? So I really do think we overplayed the pens thing. I mean, what Tottenham, you know, a lot of the talk in pre-season, who'll take over from Kane as Tottenham's penalty taker? I mean, we've had one. So some teams get more than others, right? But when you've got one that seems to be happening regularly, like Palmer, as we've had that in the past with, say, Manchester United, sure, but there's a lot of teams don't get them that regularly. And it feels like Villa might be in that category as well, actually. I'm not sure. I don't know the exact numbers. I wouldn't let that be the decision-making. So your choice is Watkins or Haaland to a doubling forward, or Palmer to Eze or Diaz, and bench one of Watkins, Haaland. For me, looking at that choice, yeah, I think the priority for me would be to get Eze. That's what I think, looking at that. The consciousness on that is, like, what did you buy Palmer at, and does that matter? So you're obviously going to want Palmer when you wildcard 35. If you bought 4.9, it becomes like an ugly sell if you need the money on the wildcard. That's dependent on what you want to do. You may find that you don't need it, in which case, for me, it would be sell Palmer. Colin Johnson says, morning, James. Cunha or Darwin in for Haaland, Johnston in for Areola. 2-3s. One will be Foden for Eze. So do you think it's worth a minus 4, mate? Definitely not to go Johnston for Areola. If you want to go Dean Henderson for Areola, that's completely understandable. Please don't go Johnston. So you've got 2-3s. One is Foden for Eze. Johnston for Areola, can't really give you much of a reason not to do. In terms of Cunha or Darwin in for Haaland, I think the answer to that I can't give you right now. Sorry, that's a bottle job answer. But if you ask me right now, am I going to go Darwin Nunes on free hit? The answer is probably no, actually. But minimal minutes tonight and a lively substitute appearance where he does well might change my mind on that. I think that's the specific scenario I need. Otherwise, preference actually with Cunha. But then again, you might have double Arsenal defence and you might find that conflicting. I was still considering going with Watkins this week on a free hit. And the more I thought about it, the more I was like, well, why wouldn't Cunha's playing Bournemouth, Watkins playing Bournemouth, why wouldn't I just go Cunha playing Bournemouth and then, you know, treat the Arsenal game as a bonus rather than Cunha's against an Arsenal. I might have double Arsenal defence, for example. Hits for players in double game weeks is far more reasonable than it is at a normal time. I hate hits for goalkeepers at any point. I hate hits for defenders in single game weeks. But if you're going to do them, mate, a double game week is a fairly good opportunity to do it. That said, I'd have a quick look at Henderson's points per game, and I think you might find it a little off-putting. CM Punk 2310 says, your thoughts on Arsenal losing last night but screwing up the coefficient for Spurs? Delighted. Sod this coefficient nonsense, right? Could you imagine, this is a serious thing here. Could you imagine that I'd have been sitting there wanting that lot to win and then Man City lost and then Liverpool probably go out tonight? So it wouldn't probably matter anyway, right? So that, no. I've spoken about this a lot on our Patreon pods, that of course I would love Tottenham to be in the Champions League, but it just doesn't feel that important. It really, really doesn't. I think it's important we get back into European competition. I actually think, and I used the example on a pod I did with Clayton last week about Arsenal after they finished fifth when we beat them 3-0 towards the end of the season a couple of years ago. And I said to him that I thought had they finished fourth, they might not have challenged for the title last season. And I think they benefited because they went from a very thin squad to beefing the squad slowly, and it did really, really well. But they didn't have to obviously put their full team out all the time in Europa League. You just don't in the group stage of that. So that slow progress, because Tottenham have got the squad's been thinned out as well, right? That slow process might be better for us in terms of, right, I'm not saying do what Arsenal do, but okay, yeah, next year I push into fourth. Because I still think, despite some failings that I've seen recently, such as Fulham away and Newcastle away, I still feel we're very much on an upward curve, and I only see things getting better with time, actually. The jump to trying to solidify a place in there whilst competing in the Champions League at the same time might just be too tough. Now, you're asking, so you're saying you don't want to get in the Champions League? No, it's not what I'm saying. Of course, it's not what I'm saying. I would like to get in it. But I'm just saying it doesn't feel that important to me. Not to the extent that I'd risk the possibility of that lot winning the Champions League. No, thank you. I think people forget. I've seen a lot of it. Tottenham fans secretly supporting Arsenal. What a nonsense. I've not seen any single Tottenham fan who would have wanted them to win last night. These opinions only come from people that don't understand the tribalism of football fandom and true rivalries. Don't understand them because they've never experienced them. And it's not meant harshly. It's just through experience that you learn that, right? So I've said several times, I love Tottenham more than I hate Arsenal. But if you said to me, would you finish fourth and they win the Champions League? Nah, I'll take fifth. It's fine. It's fine, particularly on the progress we are. It's not like an essential that we've got to be there. What is it? It's like, oh, fight to get into a competition. We've got no chance of winning. No chance of winning. What's it all about? Oh, it's about money. Mate, money. Okay. Going to Europa League would be one of the favourites to win it. So it's just not that big of a deal for me when we're at the start of a new project. When we were going with Arsenal head-to-head for fourth a couple of years ago, that felt desperate because we had a win-now manager and it was like, we've got to do shit right now. There's no next season because guess what? He didn't even make it to the end of next season, which surprised no one. So we had to do things then, win then. That's not the process now. We're in year one of something that's hopefully quite long-term. And you still see the failings in the team at the moment, right? Because it's still learning. So my thoughts on them going out and it costing us our coefficient could... like whatever. And I think Villa will take fourth from here. Villa have the opportunity to go 9 points clear of us before we play again through two home games against Bournemouth and Chelsea. In my opinion, if Villa beat Bournemouth on Sunday, that's it. It's finished. Even if they then lost to Chelsea, it's enough. That's enough that they'll be too far clear of us with the fixtures we've got left, because I don't see us getting a lot from Arsenal at home, Chelsea away, Liverpool away, and Man City at home. That's the reality. The other two games, Burnley, Sheffield United. Okay, win then, you're level with Villa. But then Villa have got another three games as well. So I think if Villa win on Sunday, they'll take fourth. And if they do, they deserve to. And for Villa as well, the reason they want it more, genuinely, their supporters do. I think the club do. It's exciting. They've not been in it. Like, good luck to them. If they finish fourth, they'll absolutely deserve it. That's also partly why it maybe doesn't feel so important, because we're not going up against an Arsenal or a Chelsea. It's like a fresh name, a new team. And no one could say if Villa finish fourth, they don't deserve to finish in fourth. A bit Arsenal home and away, a bit City at home, the one at my place. They've won other big games during the course of the season. If they finish fourth, they deserve it. If they win Sunday, I think it would be them. And I think my team will probably just have to settle for Europa League football. And if you'd offered me that at the start of the season, I would have said it. I would have taken that. A lot of people will know, I said at the start of the season, it really doesn't matter where we finish this season. And we've had a successful season, whatever happens at the end here. It does matter, but not hugely.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Who's next? Tino says, hi from Portugal, Sporting Forever. Hello, Tino. How's my mate Marcus Edwards doing? Has he run off the ball yet or not? Paul H says, hi, James. On a free hit 34, do you prefer a double Arsenal defence or attack? It's kind of covered. There's not a huge preference for me on it, and it will possibly get defined by me by which free Liverpool I want after tonight. I think you could swing either way on it. I guess the preference is probably double Arsenal attack, but it also is the preference with Palace. It's the preference with Liverpool. It's the preference pretty much with all of them, because there's not many defensive assets that I actually want this week. So, yes, the preference is going to be offensive, but I'm probably going to end up with a double defense of someone, I think. There's nothing I like defensively from the other teams that double. Bournemouth, no, maybe the goalkeeper. And I'm aware of that because that goes back to the all-in strategy of, okay, right, I won't have any kind of conflicting players, but then I'll have to take Cunha out to make it not conflicting. I don't really want any Wolves defence when Arsenal's their first game, and I think Bournemouth will score against them as well next midweek. Sheffield United obviously don't want anything defensive, and I know people are going to kind of fall into Pickford defensively, and that's fine. It's reasonable. I don't particularly want to go there, I don't think, especially if Branthwaite's going to be out. So I think I'm naturally going to fall into a double defensive line. I don't really want double defensive Palace. That feels like a waste. So I think I am going to be double Arsenal defence or double Liverpool defence. There'll be people screaming, what about Ray and Ait Nori? I get it. But I think following the conversation we had on Clash of Correspondence about him, which I recommend people listen to, I do think one way or the other he's going to end up at wing-back, even if he's fit. And then one of his games is Arsenal at home, as I said, and Bournemouth's the other game. How keen am I on it? I've not ruled him out, and I'm not completely ruled Milos Kerkez out either, subject to Bournemouth team news, because I'm aware, as discussed on that same pod, that I think he could end up playing left side in midfield. But he's going to be defined really by which offensive players I want most. I'm probably going to land on double Arsenal defence or double Liverpool defence. And when I say it out loud, it's like, double Liverpool defence? You nuts. You know, at least Arsenal largely can be trusted defensively. So I'm probably going to end up with double Arsenal defence, I think. But not because I prefer it. Cora Hope Camassero says, hi, James. Torn whether to triple captain Salah this week or Palmer in 35. I'm free hitting in 37, so can't go Palmer, Haaland then. Thank you. Mo, for me, irrespective of minutes tonight, is still probably the best captaincy this week. If he was to play 120 under that circumstance, that would be pretty concerning. If he plays 90 tonight, I think we'd have to think, does he start twice in the double? And that would be enough for me to think, yeah, from a triple captaincy, I'd probably go Palmer 35. And it's probably going to be nearly the only way to get the advantage of Palmer. Because Palmer's EO in 35 would be a joke. An absolute joke. And I think those with a triple captaincy left may well lean that way after tonight. You know, if Mo gets a full rest tonight, probably still go Salah. But otherwise, if there's any concern on his minutes, there's no reason really at this stage to have concern over Palmer in 35, and that's where I'd go. My friend Shamil Galani's in and says, what needs to happen for England to gain the coefficient for this year? Is it literally if Bayern lose, Bayern Leverkusen beat West Ham, it's over? It's pretty nearly over anyway, I think, Sham. I mean, imagine Bayern and Dortmund's Champions League final. It could be, couldn't it? So I think there's a scenario where if West Ham or Liverpool won the Europa League and Aston Villa won the Conference League, it could still be England. But I'll be honest, Sham, for me, I'm just going to work on the basis that it's going to be Germany. It's going to be awfully difficult for yourselves tonight. I wish you the best of luck. It's obviously going to be really difficult for Liverpool. Villa are by no means guaranteed to go through tonight either. We could literally have all our teams out tonight. That's not unthinkable. So for me, I'm just working on, I don't know the percentages, I'm just working on the scenario that it's Germany's now. CM Punch 2310 says, your pick for Premier League Player of the Year this season, surely Cole Palmer is in the reckoning. Yeah, I'm tired of talking about it because I spoke about this 2 or 3 weeks ago and a lot of people were like, well, you can't name someone who's like ninth in the league or something like that. Like, listen, Ginola won Player of the Year when Manchester United won a treble. Admittedly, the voting was before United had won that treble. At the time of the voting, they could have in theory won nothing. But no, I really think, I break it to you like this, right? If I said to you, who's Man City's player of the year? Rodri, Foden, perhaps a couple of other contenders. Don't say with certainty. If I said to you, Arsenal, what do you say? Saliba, Gabriel, Saka, Odegaard. There's a number of choices there. If I said to you, Liverpool, any Liverpool player worth consideration player of the year? We say Mo. I don't think so, really. Cole Palmer, I don't think there's a single Chelsea fan would not think Cole Palmer has been Chelsea's player of the year. And it's an individual award. Unfortunately, with things like the Ballon d'Or now, it's like popularity contest. It's like you've got to win like a World Cup or a Champions League to almost like win it now. It's a nonsense, isn't it? The best player should win it. And he has been the best individual player in the league for me this season. Showed it again Monday night. So I don't think he should be in the reckoning. I think he should win it. I don't think he will, by the way. but that's who I think should win it. Kieran Singh says, hi, James. I'm free hitting this week. Should I pick any single game week players or just load with doublers? For your information, I never pick Arsenal players in FPL, so have some flexibility. Come on, you Spurs. Well, if you're not picking any Arsenal players at all, genuinely, then there's plenty more reason under that circumstance to be looking at some single game week players. So you're not bench boosting. So that's also helpful. I.e., what I mean by that is if you went for Bruno Fernandes as an example, if he did get injured on Sunday, then your bench comes into play. So I think someone like that, nearly everybody will ignore. You'll be able to do it because you're not going with like a Saka value or an Odegaard value. Haaland obviously comes into play. Ollie Watkins comes into play. For me personally, as I said, the one I'd have been most tempted by is Watkins. I explained earlier, I came to the conclusion, why not just have Cunha then? So I can't see me having any unless the team news was really spooky where a number of forward players were ruled out, for example. But under your circumstance, if you're insistent on not having Arsenal players and understand that, Kieran, then I think Bruno Fernandes would be a really cheeky one, actually. And he's highly likely to be on my wild card in 35. Grav says, hi, James. What to do with Tony and Semenya? Wild card 35. Sell, mate. Both. -4. Take your pick, mate. Solanke and Cunha, I'm going to presume that'll work financially. If not, there are certainly others that you'll be able to choose instead. So, yeah, bin them both, mate, I think. If Thomas Frank was to say tomorrow, yeah, Tony starts at Luton tomorrow, that might change your opinion. Tice says, hi, James. Worth to bring in Eze for Garnacho for a hit. Bench boosting 34. I'm going to say yes. But keep an eye on Eric Ten Hag's presser. There's the potential that there's been a bit of a falling out there, maybe. We'll probably get some more news about that before Saturday's deadline. Meninda Prihar says, built for 34 with Salah, Darwin, VVD already, but don't want the latter two now, really. Is it a hit to remove one to get Luis Diaz instead? Irrational thinking. You've made your bed, I'd lie in it, mate. Honestly, that happened to me when I got married. It's too late. You know, decisions were made. I'd do the same, mate. I'd just stay where you are. I wouldn't bother moving that, mate. It's not like it's one game week, right? I get it. If you're like, I went VVD and I don't want Liverpool defensive now, I want to get rid. Okay, well, I'm going to buy this player over the next 3-4 weeks. It's 1 week. 1 week. I would not bother moving, mate. I wouldn't even think twice about it. If I had 3 Liverpool in place, I wouldn't be letting to do anything with it. David Fawn says, hi, James. Hope you're well. Got 2 free transfers. Would you be tempted by Odegaard to Eze, captain, and Bradley to an Arsenal defender, or just go Bradley to Munoz and roll the other free transfer for Chelsea Tottenham doubles? It's a roll, I think. I'm sure everybody wants Eze this week, and it's perfectly understandable, but I'm not sure I'd take Odegaard out to get there, personally. It feels close enough that there's more power in rolling, I think, David. CM Punk 2310 says, would you take a hit to remove Haaland this week? Of course, that will depend on the injury news pre-FA Cup. Well, if he's ruled out the cup semi, then that's obviously going to give you encouragement to do so. The question as always is, like, what do you do afterwards? And is that hit worth it in the immediate? Yeah, I think the player you get in, you've got to be looking at that thinking, right, well, you always fancy, despite what I said near the start of the stream, you always fancy Haaland to score, don't you? So if he's going to play against a Brighton team that can be quite open, okay, let's put it at an average 6-pointer. So if you take the -4, whoever you get in, you want to be looking at and get them getting 11 or more. So what's your confidence in that? You'll find your answer. Greg Frost says, hi, James. I'm considering Trossard as a differential this week on free hit. Is he competing with Martinelli and Jesus off the left, or would he play through the middle with Havertz in a deeper role? I wouldn't consider a player like that, Greg, because yes, you've answered your own point there, and it's not a certainty that he'd even start once. So I wouldn't be going there. James Wright says, smash the like all. I'm on free hit 34, considering single game week players. What's your preference, Bren Brereton, Diaz and Watkins, or Fernandes and Mateta Cunha? Yeah, it's probably the latter. There's the narrative with Brereton Diaz, isn't there? Burnley at home is the best fixture Sheffield United could have, and then Manchester United away with all the chances they give up. I get the narrative. It's probably not going to be for me, I don't think, because the reality is, and I'm sorry to say this, he still plays for Sheffield United. So I think the latter. James Wright says, who will win the Champions League? I tell you who I hope wins it is Dortmund, because I just think that would be a brilliant story for football. Against these three individual other powerhouses, that would be great. But failing that, I would love Harry and Eric Dier to win it. It would be amazing. And I know there'd be a few people who'd be like, oh, you're right, you've beat Arsenal now, you've done your thing, don't win it. I don't feel like that. I'd love Harry to get the monkey off his back before the Euros. Oh, Harry Kane's a curse. I'd love him to just imagine he just went away first season, bang, Champions League. And they've been shit largely in the Bundesliga as well. I'd love it if he won it. Who do I think win it? Madrid. I don't know how they got through that last night. I watched all of that game. And even when City was still 1-0 down, I'm never doubting that City was going to win all the way through. And I think City ran out of legs a little bit in extra time, and then the game became easier for Madrid. The tempo slowed up. That's because City's tempo in the first 90 minutes was brilliant. Like I said earlier, you couldn't look at City last night and go, oh, they fumbled it or whatever. They just didn't win the game. And Madrid defended the penalty box really well, but it wasn't like when City played Arsenal and everything was quite slow. They were at it last night, and they just missed the chances largely when they came. I'd be silent about Madrid, don't you? That front three is really good. Really good. That kept them alive for it all through the game, with Bellingham, Rodrigo and Vinny Jr. Ancelotti's got the know-how. But there's nothing you could look at them last night and go, well, they strategically did this to stop City or that. They just rid their luck. But how many times have we said that about them? So I think Madrid. I watched PSG against Barca Tuesday night as well. And although they had a lot of the ball early on, which is not uncommon for a Luis Enrique team, they obviously went behind. The red card for Araujo is obviously pivotal to the game. There's every chance they'd have gone out. And this is by no means a vintage Barca. I don't think I've ever watched a Barcelona team that was so happy not to have the ball, even at 11v11. Dortmund are, what, fifth in Germany at the moment? I think it might have pushed to fourth now. And Bayern has said as well, I don't think they're vintage. Although it does sound like they put on a very professional performance last night. And despite criticism of Thomas Tuchel, yeah, he knows what to do at the end game as well. So I think Madrid. Ready Can Dance says, hi, James. Is it fair to say the Premier League is the new Bundesliga with one team running away with it every season? No team can compete with City and what they've built based on the 115 charges. Mate, there's two teams that are 2 points behind. What exactly is running away with it? They weren't even top this time last week. Yes, the other teams can compete. Did Man City just romp to another Champions League last night? No. Our league is very competitive. Very competitive. The one thing I'd say is, although City won last night, I don't think they're as strong as they were 12 months ago. I don't. I see weaknesses in their play. Maybe they're a little bit fatigued because of what happened last year as well. So, no. City aren't going to win it every year. City aren't going to win it every year. And you say the new Bundesliga, what? Because Bayer Leverkusen won it last year. What's the first time, in 10 years? In Italy, Juventus had won it, what, 7 times in a row and haven't won it now for like 4 or 5 years. There'll be a change of cycle at some point. Meninda Prihar says, Sky question, please. Got 15 transfers left and looking to chase. Can you recommend any differentials to target? Heard you mention Palace assets on the SkyPod already. Cheers. Yeah, there's them, so I won't cover again. But the thing is like, how differential these guys going to be? So I could say, right, Alexander Isak's a differential now. Right, so many people are going to intend to buy him next Wednesday. Bruno Fernandes, massive differential. So many people are going to look to buy him next Wednesday. So, I mean, if you want really differentials, is when you get there and you go, right, a lot of people are going to go for Bruno Fernandes here. Are you brave enough to go, I'm going Rashford instead? Now, can Marcus Rashford outscore Bruno Fernandes for the rest of the season under that format? Yeah, of course he can. So that's it. It's like, right, where's everyone going? Oh, the safety net, Bruno Fernandes. Can I go Marcus Rashford instead as an alternative? Can I cheap it out and go Garnacho that allows me to hold on to perhaps expensive Arsenal Liverpool players that might now look more attractive because of their results in Europe, or might look less attractive because their form's plateaued, let's say. So what looks like a differential now isn't going to be a differential in that format next Wednesday or so. Chelsea players, if you're brave, like Jackson's, Gallagher's. Do you want to go down that road? Chelsea defensive. I think one I'll throw in is Brennan Johnson, who I speak about a lot. He might be part of my plan in Sky. And I don't think he will be in many others. Jamie Hayes says, haven't had Haaland since game week 8, and I feel more and more smug about it as the weeks go by. Lol. Will Brownie says, hi, James. Would you bring in VVD and Raya from -4 or play Neto and White for free? Up the Bayern. Yes, Arsenal, stick it up your Bayern. Nah, just leave it be, mate. I'd leave it be. You've got two players with doubles. It's fine. Matt Lackin says, afternoon, James. Depressed Everton fan here. Please don't be depressed, Matt. My DMs are open. The fan base is quite split on Dyche after Monday. Wondered what your thoughts are. Feels quite late in the season to be changing it. Yeah. Yeah, I wouldn't. And I get the split, right? Because, and you knew this, the football was bad. I also think there's a case to say, this goes both ways. You might be in a safety net position because of him. You might still be in trouble because the performances and results under him have been really bad over the last 3 months or so. And the problem is when you're playing football like that, which is, I don't even necessarily say bland, because I think even with his Burnley teams, they were always about getting it in the final third. And actually when they got there, you know, they put balls into the box and stuff. It wasn't necessarily boring. But when you're playing that way and you're not getting results, it's tough. It's really tough. This is why I kind of accept the shit with like Ange at the weekend, because it's like, well, you wanted this, James. It's like, yeah, I did. Yeah. So I'll take it. So I get the frustration. I get the split. I think you got to think about it like this, though. Imagine you change and go down. That would always be their game with Sean Dyche had kept you up. And this happened with Burnley a couple of years ago, if you remember as well. They sat Dyche roundabouts this time and they went down. They didn't turn it round. I think with the games you got left, Forest, Brentford, Sheffield United at home particularly, I think get enough points, Matt. Unfortunately, I feel really sorry for Evertonians, but you might remember we did a podcast a couple of years ago and we said 5 years of pain for Everton. We're in the, we might be in the third year, rather towards the end of the second year or the start of the third year. You still got another couple of years of this, and I'm sorry to say that, but that's the truth. It was going to be, once we knew what the PSR situation was likely to be, and that's before we knew point deductions would be a thing, we said Everton will have 5 years of pain and it's going to be rough. And unfortunately, that's the only goal I think for the football club in the next 2-3 years is to stay up. Then the football club will progress. You're going to need to wait. And could you get a manager in? You know, look, if you manage to get someone like an Oliver Glasner in, who'll change your style, et cetera, obviously not now, just for clarity for Palace fans, but I mean, got someone new in like that, that's no good to you at this minute. It's no good to you at this minute. Because even in reality, till Sunday, Palace had won one game under Glasner before winning at Liverpool, right? So that sort of change right now is no good to you. If you stay up and then you want to change your model in the summer, fine. But I also suspect, because of what's the bigger problem, Matt, is obviously the ownership situation and what's happened with 7-7 Partners and the money that's getting owed left, right and centre is way more concerning. Way, way more concerning to Everton at the moment than should you change your manager or not. I don't know if there's anyone authoritative there that can actually make the decision. And you probably know that yourself as well. So that's a steady hand who will do his best. That's what you'd certainly know with Sean Dyche. If he fails, it's not through want of trying. It's just because it fails, because he hasn't got quality or whatever. So I personally think stick. I think changing now would be very, very dangerous. And what I would say, Matt, is I do think Everton will stay up. Owen Wilson says, hi, James. I see many Spurs fans happy that Arsenal lost and not bothered that it means fifth won't get Champions League. For me, I'd always put my club benefit over a rival losing. Can you explain the thinking? I've already explained it already, mate. I've already explained it already. For what? Listen, let me put it a different way to you, right? Let's say, okay, let me use a different example. Let's use it the other way around, okay? So Tottenham played Manchester City in game week 37. Let's say that going into that game, Arsenal were 1 point clear, okay? Now, if Tottenham then beat Man City, Arsenal, all they have to do is to beat Everton final day to win the title. Should Arsenal fans be supporting Tottenham that night? Yeah, of course, because there's no consequence to what happens. There's no consequence. Oh, so Tottenham might get in the Champions League, whatever. But it would, that would directly benefit Arsenal to win a Premier League title. Let's put it this way. You could say, oh, if Arsenal won last night, it improved England's coefficient, right? And it what? Does it guarantee me getting Champions League place? The fixtures we got left, if we wet the fucking bed against Burnley and Sheffield United, there's no guarantee we even finish fifth. Never mind push like for fourth, for example. So what? So what? I've got to want them to win because of something that might happen. And then what? Imagine that, as I said earlier, what? Imagine that I'd have wanted them to win and then Man City lost and it caught the coefficient up anyway. What? Nah, I'd mentioned this to some Villa fans on our Slack last night. It's not a criticism of them because it's new, right? I was just trying to say to them, stop worrying about what's going on with other teams. You're a good team. Like, do your thing and it will take care of itself, right? Think bigger. Stop. Oh, if this team does this and this team does that and rah, 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 rah. So the flip is as well, right? I want my team to be good enough to leapfrog them as well, which is still a possibility. So what? I could have been in a position where I wanted them to win last night and my team to flip it again. Then goes and beats Arsenal, beats Chelsea and could still finish fourth. No, mate, no. If it had been something that directly, like, properly benefited me, like it was definitive on the final day of the season, if they won a quarter final, then yeah, sure, maybe we could talk about it. But it didn't guarantee anything for my team. Like, it's a literal nonsense. There's no Tottenham fan that would have wanted them to win last night. And if people don't agree with that, I understand that. But then that's also because people do not understand the rivalry between the two clubs. If it was the other way round, there would be no way that they'd be wanting to win it. And I'd say the biggest thing of all, right, is yes, I love Tottenham more than I hate them. But that's the one thing that they've never done, right? It's eluded them, is the Champions League. And I think if they'd have won last night, they'd have won it. Because I'm watching Madrid last night, and that was also getting to me. I'm thinking, these will beat Madrid. And I think they would beat PSG or Dortmund as well. Now, don't need that. They'll live around me, mate. Don't need that in my life. Benedict Troy says, hi, James. Sky question. Is it viable to skip Haaland against Brighton and captain Rodri would get Bruno for Sheffield United and Burnley and get Haaland for Forest? Yeah, cool, cool cities, mate. As long as he's in the team, right? Here's the trick. This is what we said yesterday for Sky Fantasy. Now, we know the game's going to stay on the Thursday night now, right? Don't use five transfers by Wednesday. Leave yourself one for the Thursday. Because on the off chance that Rodri doesn't start, you'll be sick. Make sure you leave yourself a transfer the Thursday night. If you're not, you need to look at your plan again. I really recommend that you don't make five transfers before that Manchester City game next Thursday. So for me, I've only got Haaland. I'm the opposite, right? Nah, I'll be leaving it open in case I'm like, oh shit, I need to get a City player in on the Thursday. So that would be the recommendation. Leave yourself one available to cover for it. Is it fine to captain Rodri against Brighton in that format? Yes, it is. Freck says, although don't be surprised if he doesn't hit passing in that game. It could be a rare one. Firex says, Haaland to Nunes for a hit. Isn't everyone trying to sell him? Also, if you had to bring in any two midfielders this week, who would you bring in? Have Salah, Saka, and already have three Arsenal spots. Strategies, wildcard 35. Thank you and good luck. So Eze, obviously, and then for me it would be one of Odegaard or Luis Diaz, subject on how I felt about Diaz after tonight. Haaland to Nunes for a hit. Excuse me. Not if I think Haaland will play next Thursday night. No, not for me, I don't think. JP says, where do you think Eze and Elise end up next season? Also, what teams do you think they suit the most? I think they'll end up at Crystal Palace, mate. It won't be easy to get out of there, I don't think. We think Palace will be quite restricted again financially, but also not in a bracket where they would necessarily have to sell. And I think, look, new managers come in the door. I think they'll probably give it a little bit of a chance. I think the two players seem fairly happy there from what people seem to say and stuff. So why do we have to assume that these players are going to leave? In terms of where could they go? Anywhere, because they're good enough to play for the majority of teams in this league. And they won't be cheap. Elise has also obviously, well, both of them have had injury issues as well. I wouldn't be surprised if we get to September and still at Palace, mate. MRCX says, hey, James, is Sonny and Muniz to Eze and Solanke fine for a -4? Of course it is, mate. Heather says, bench boost 34 and wildcard 35. Would you sell Foden for Eze? Could bring Foden back in 35 then. Yeah. Yeah, I'm fine with that, Heather. JP says, will you be posting a free hit draft on Twitter, mate? If not, your best free hit 11. Look, I can't tell you what it is, and not because I don't know. I did a video for advanced tier patrons yesterday saying what my intention was, but very much made it clear it's going to be dependent on Arsenal and Liverpool. And I could have an idea about Arsenal now, but I've already said it's quite dependent on Liverpool tonight, ultimately, in terms of what I finally decide to do. Then you need to get through the team news tomorrow. So tomorrow when on Patreon, I will tell the patrons on the differential show what my intention is with that team. Then when I do the team news stream for the advanced tier patrons in the evening, once I've got the team news stream, I will have my intended team up on screen. Then on the Saturday morning, I will probably tweet my team, and you'll also will see it on the deadline stream, which at 12:30 PM UK time on this channel on Saturday lunchtime. So I'm not going to hide it. It's not number one in the world. There's no reason for me to do it. So I'll tell you what my plan is. It's not secret, squirrel. I haven't decided yet. Dave Norris says, hi, James. I'm on wildcard next week and have two free transfers. I want to punt on two Palace. What are the best two from Eze, Elise, and Mateta? Thanks, pal. For me, my intention at the moment is Mateta and Eze, purely because of the space in the Palace's fixtures. So Sunday, West Ham, Wednesday, Newcastle. And Elise's just come back from injury. And I don't know what the expectation on minutes is for him now. Mateta's doing well enough. There is a scenario where I may end up going all three. But I think Eze is a definite. And I think I'm more likely to go Mateta rather than Elise. And I've just seen we're just about to hit 1 o'clock. So I'm going to do one more. Jamie Hayes says, I would go without Arsenal defenders for the rest of the season if it weren't for Gabriel's goal crazy threat. Gabriel will almost definitely be on my wild card in 35. Almost definitely. But remember, kids, I don't have my bench boost left, so mine might look a little bit different to others. And I think if I was bench boosting 37, I'd be getting 15 doublers in with no intention to make any transfers because something will go wrong along the path. Thank you very much to those who've contributed in the chat. Smash the like, hit the sub button, all those bits of jazz. Very, very much appreciated. I see there's loads of you in the chat. FPL Harry, I can see, says, can we redo our podcast? No, you can't, mate. But if anyone wants to listen to my podcast with FPL Harry, recorded on Monday prior to Chelsea's 6-0 win against Everton, that's available from Basic Plus tier on Patreon. If you want to support the show, it's www.patreon.com/planetFPL. Tomorrow, clash of the correspondence for you. Everton versus Liverpool with Sean Norton and Dan Lord. Please be aware that will be out later than normal tomorrow. We're not even recording it till 2:30. So audio probably about 4, 4:30, and YouTube probably about 5, 5:30, 6, something like that. But just leaves me to say thanks very much to everybody watching live. Smash your like on the way out. For the benefit of those on the audio, cue music, please. Manchild.
The Fantasy Football Show.
Sports Social Podcast Network.